This is New England Public Radio News. If you visit the Worcester Art Museum, you'll find signs with some specific information about the people depicted in some of the paintings there. The signs note which subjects of paintings benefited from slavery. WBUR's Maria Garcia reports.
At the Worcester Art Museum's Early American Portrait Gallery, I'm struck by a painting of a man named Russell Sturges. Sturges wears a coat with a fur stole and what looks like luxurious taffeta. He sits on a gilded chair with lush green velvet padding. His expression is stately and dignified, as if imbuing thoughtfulness. Here's Aaron Corrales-Diaz, curator of American art at the museum.
His gaze that's somewhat upward, right? He's not looking directly at us in a way. You know, we, the viewer, are sort of positioned a little bit below him as well in the painting.
There's one sign next to the piece that tells us about the painting. A new sign above that informs us that Sturges' relatives established a business in Haiti that trafficked in flour, horses, and enslaved persons. The portrait is from 1822, long after Massachusetts had outlawed slavery in 1783.
We tend to think of New England and Massachusetts in particular as an abolition state, which it was, of course, but there's this kind of flattening of the discussion of slavery and its history in the states, that the North was not at all complicit and it was a Southern enterprise.
That's Elizabeth Athens, the Worcester Art Museum's former curator who put up the new signs last fall. She's now at the National Gallery of Art. She says art often frames history and builds uneven narratives that efface entire groups.
It was exclusively wealthy white people, and they're presented in this very kind of valorized way. You know, we were missing a whole swath of humanity that was part of American history, and I really wanted to correct that.
Walking through the Worcester collection reminded me of a project called Mining the Museum. In 1992, artist Fred Wilson looked through storage at the Maryland Historical Society and found artifacts related to slavery the museum had acquired but not displayed. He then placed those objects on view next to the conventional artifacts on display, like slave shackles next to a gilded chair. Mining the Museum is considered a seminal moment, but there's been no widespread efforts to recontextualize the many early American collections in museums across the country.
Particularly with art museums, there's this idea that it's a place for beauty, that when you sit there, some kind of way that social and political realities dissipate, and it's just this clean, pure experience.
That's LaTanya Autry, a PhD candidate at the University of Delaware who focuses on American art and last year began a social media campaign called Museums Are Not Neutral. She thinks museums have been resistant to including context about slavery to their American collections because of the worry of applying 21st century values to works of the past. That kind of contemporary framing doesn't do the art justice, some say. Plus, allowing contemporary standards to an artwork could mean limiting the museum's programming potential. Here's Aruna D'Souza, a writer who focuses on art and power dynamics.
It's a problem with how we teach and practice art history that we want to sort of carve out this space as an autonomous realm.
But cultural institutions function within the system of inequality in the U.S. There's undoubtedly been inherent bias in what museums acquire and how they display it. Here's Elizabeth Athens again, the curator who came up with the signs at the Worcester Museum.
Nothing has really changed. I mean, the artworks are the same and they're in the same layout, but then at the same time, everything has changed because they're kind of reframed and you see them in a different light.
A new light that completely expands our gaze. For New England Public Radio, I'm Maria Garcia.